Thanks for watching today at wildwoodchurch.com. Now here's today's message.
Merry Christmas, Wildwood. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. We're looking at verses 10 through 13 this evening. And hold your place there and turn also to John chapter 1. We'll be there in just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us an incredible story. And on Christmas Eve, we remember that when God speaks, He speaks no empty words. When He speaks, things happen. Life comes out of death, and light goes into darkness. Tonight we're going to hear a story in Isaiah of a word that comes down gently, quietly, powerfully, like rain. And from John, the same word made flesh. This is a story of how God enters into our darkness, not to shout from a distance, but to dwell among us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for your Son given to us, the Word made flesh, to dwell among us. Lord, we thank you that your Word is powerful, that it does not return empty. I pray that you would prepare the soil of our hearts, that that gentle rain would fall upon it and nourish and nurture new life and joy and hope and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look here at Isaiah 55, verse 10. Isaiah says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Isaiah is painting a picture here. I mean, really, it's God speaking through his prophet, Isaiah. So God is painting a picture here of gently falling rain and snow that nourishes, not a torrential downpour that washes away. This is life-giving precipitation that falls upon the earth. He says it brings forth and sprout. These are words of life. It nourishes the ground. It produces life out of what was formerly dead. These are words of abundance and beauty, but not just beauty, but sustenance. The rain brings seed and bread. This is provision and sustenance that are essential for perpetual life. In the same way, God says in verse 11 through Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Just as rain brings life from death, God's word likewise brings life from death. His word, like the rain, is powerful. It produces. It is effectual. It achieves its purposes. It is successful with that which it was intended. Verses 12 and 13. "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." In an agricultural world, nothing is more stubborn and frustrating than ground that produces thorns. In Texas, they have mesquite trees. They destroy pastures. They're thorny trees. They do nothing but harm livestock, flatten tires, and rob the ground of nutrients. They're nuisances that every rancher knows they must eradicate. Cypress trees, on the other hand, are strong and tall and useful. They can be harvested and used to build strong structures. Thus, when God said that instead of a thorn will come up a cypress, he's promising a future in which the ground that used to frustrate will be useful and productive. The briar, it's also a harsh, thorny bush. It will be replaced by the beautiful myrtle. Unlike the briar, it is an evergreen shrub. It is fragrant. It is cultivated. The myrtle is used elsewhere in Scripture to represent peace on the other side of God's judgment. It grows where peace has replaced wrath. I want you to consider the message of God through Isaiah, from thorns to cypress, from briars to myrtles. Now look, to understand the context, you have to know that thorny ground is language of the curse. When Adam fell, when he sinned against God, rebelled against God, God cursed Adam, and one of the curses upon Adam was that the ground would produce thorns and thistles, but not forever. God promises through Isaiah a time in which people will no longer contend with thorns and briars, but instead with cypress and myrtle. You might be asking yourself, nice agricultural gardening lesson, Pastor, on Christmas? Listen, this prophecy is not primarily or principally an agricultural promise. It is a promise to reverse the curse. It is a promise to reverse the curse. And how will this be accomplished? Isaiah tells us, God tells us, that God's word will reverse the curse. And the whole creation will rejoice, even the mountains and the hills and the trees. The curse will be lifted, and mankind and all of creation will be at peace with God who created them. All because the word of God goes out, and it shall not return empty. Now let's flip over to John chapter 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 14. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 11 through 14. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 11, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Like the rain and snow falls upon the earth softly and gently, the Word entered the world softly, quietly, in the form of a helpless baby, born to unknown parents in an obscure town at an insignificant time. He came quietly and gently. And the word did not return void. No, the word did not simply command revival. He created it. He stepped into the soil of our hearts, the brokenness of our world, putting on flesh and becoming for us the curse. The thorns that have plagued mankind would one day pierce the brow of him who created it. The curse placed upon Adam's back would one day rip into Christ's. The barren ground of your heart that once produced thorn and thistles is now the nurturing ground for the myrtle. Life and peace and hope and joy and love to the glory of the Father. You know, there's a reason that mesquite is so hard to kill. You can cut them down, but they sprout back. You can burn them, but they return. You can spray them with chemicals, but their root does not die. Why? Because mesquite trees have deep roots. They're known to be 50 to 200 feet deep. And ranchers know that if you do not kill the root, you do not kill the mesquite. Brothers and sisters, the truth is that the curse runs deep in your heart too. And the only way that your heart can have the life-transforming effect that I just spoke of is that the Word of God penetrates and replaces death with life. The gospel, Paul says, is the power of God for the salvation of mankind, to everyone who believes. It is the life-transforming Word of God. And where the Word takes root, a new creation begins. What Isaiah promised and what John proclaimed is this: the Word did not stay distant, but drew near. The light entered our darkness, not with noise or force, but with the whimper of a newborn baby. Light and life. And where there is light, the darkness cannot win. Tonight, as we mark the culmination of this Advent series, Light in the Darkness, we do something simple but symbolic. We extinguish every other light to remember the world as it was, waiting and longing in darkness, unable to save itself. And then we turn our eyes to the one true light that will never fade, the Word made flesh, the light of the world. Hey, thanks so much for watching online. I hope that this message has inspired you to greater faith, has encouraged you, maybe convicted or challenged you. We're grateful to be able to provide this content to you online, live and on demand. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube so that we can get this content right to you as soon as we upload it. But you know, we believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you need the body of Christ. You need the local church. And so if you're in the Quad Cities, let me invite you to personally join us in person for our gatherings on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 10:40. If you're not in the Quad Cities, I want to encourage you to go find a local church that teaches the Bible, that serves the community, that loves Jesus, that gives grace. Well, hey, thanks again for watching, and we hope that you were blessed.